from what I've read, learned, and experienced in my whole life, your diet is probably 75% of the way you look. Your exercise is probably 15% of the way you look. And your supplementation that you take is probably less than 10% of the way you look. But everybody wants to take a pill to look better.
This is Dr. West Conner, founder and owner of MedicineCoach.com. For over 15 years, I've been helping people save money on their medication, balance their hormones, and live better and healthier through proper eating, exercise, and supplementation. I'm a think-outside-the-box type of person, and I feel the traditional healthcare model is not the best solution to everyone's healthcare issues. My website, MedicineCoach.com, offers real solutions, real strategies, real answers, and the real inside information that you need to live better, stay healthy, live longer, and get more out of life. Now let's get going. This is a 42-minute coaching call I did with a gentleman named Wayne. Wayne is 45 years old, and he just wants to stay looking young. He has a history of working out and wants information on supplements and how to increase his testosterone. I go pretty fast in the beginning and give the names of several natural supplements that will help. We also talk about diet, how to optimize your protein intake and sources of good lean protein. We also discuss pharmaceutical route for increasing testosterone with and without taking testosterone, which is considered an anabolic steroid, and why you should not take your hormones by mouth. I give him a bunch of good information during this coaching call about muscle soreness and what I do to help with that, how I work around injuries, some eating advice, how to easily tell the low-fat cuts of red meat, the theory of the Atkins diet, what happens to your body if you take too much supplemental testosterone for too long, my stance on cholesterol and how it relates to your hormones, what is spot reducing and why it is a myth, and my little rant on performance-enhancing drugs. You're first going to hear Wayne describe his issues and what information he's looking to get from me, and then we go right into the call. So let's get going.
Okay, so I'm a 45-year-old man who's exercised, you know, basically all of my life. Worked in the health club industry for 10 years, so very adept at training consistently over long periods of time. You know, I am 45 years old, so I have a next goal, the next decade goal of just staying as hard as possible. I mean, meaning that I want to keep muscle mass, I want to maintain strength and flexibility and just lean, hard muscle mass for as long as possible. And so I have a goal right now for 10 years, and then I'll do another one for 10 years thereafter. Aside from that, I also have, you know, just little injuries, nothing major, but just little places that hurt all over and different things that I kind of work around, but I find that my body has more energy and my muscles have more strength sometimes than my connective tissue will allow for. So I'm looking for supplements that will help me just, you know, burn fat, stay lean, increase. I don't need necessarily more mass, but I just want to have lean, you know, dense tissue that is strong, flexible, and reasonably injury-free so I can keep training for the next decade.
So pretty much the basis here is as we get older as guys, testosterone starts to drop at around age 30, maybe age 35, depending on the guy, depending on how well he's taking care of himself. So yours has probably been dropping the last 10 or 15 years, and it drops maybe 1% a year. So you don't really notice it until you get to your late 40s, and then suddenly you wake up one morning and you're old. To increase testosterone naturally with supplements is real hard, almost impossible to do. But our sex hormones, which is our estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone, and all of the other ones, they are bound to proteins in our blood, albumin and sex hormone binding globulin. Now, depending on the person, that binding can be anywhere from 85 to 98%. And when they're bound, they're useless. They cannot be used by the tissue. And that's kind of how your body checks and balances everything, keeps it balanced. If one hormone is too high, it'll increase the binding globulin, so it'll bind it up and it won't work anymore. Now, you can't really increase testosterone, but what you can do is you can decrease binding globulin, the sex hormone binding globulin. So based on you, between 85 and 98% bound to protein and binding globulin. But if we were to decrease that binding globulin by just a couple of percentage points, your percentage of testosterone will go up greatly. So that's a much better and easier way to do it than trying to increase the testosterone without resorting to supplementation.
Makes sense.
As we age, as guys, our body gets better and better at converting testosterone to estrogen. In the scheme of how your hormones work, your body makes testosterone, and then from that, it makes estrogen. Women do it the same way. As we get older, we get better at doing that. And as we do that, our estrogen level goes up. Our body wants a balance, So it increases that sex hormone binding globulin, which in turn binds more testosterone. So our testosterone goes down even further as we shift towards the estrogen side. That's why you see old men at the beach with the man boobs and things like that in the wider hips. When you go to a traditional doctor, what they're going to do is they're going to take your blood and they're going to test your testosterone level. And the testosterone level in your blood, the normal range, is roughly, depending on the lab, 200 to 1200 is normal. But what they do is they test your total testosterone level. They test all of it, whereas only 2% to 15% is actually active. But we don't know where you are in that 2 to 15%. And that's why the latest way of testing your hormones is saliva, because in your saliva, the saliva tests that 2% to 15%, the active portion. So how can we lower down this sex hormone binding globulin? Well, there's a couple of supplements to take. The first one, probably the best one, is nettle root or stinging nettle. And that just binds to that sex hormone binding globulin so that it doesn't bind to the testosterone. So you'll increase the free testosterone. You're not going to increase your total testosterone in your blood, but it's going to increase the free and active testosterone that your body can use.
Okay. So what was that called again, you just said?
Stinging nettle, or nettle root, N-E-T-T-L-E.
Okay.
There's another one. It's the active ingredient in the saw palmetto is the beta-sitosterol. Beta, B-E-T-A, and sitosterol is S-I-T-O-S-T-E-R-O-L. What that does is it blocks an enzyme in your blood that converts testosterone into a metabolite. So in other words, everything in your body is checks and balances and ups and down and everything. Your body tries to keep everything at a normal level. So if we block these enzymes that convert the testosterone to other things, it's like a traffic jam and your testosterone will increase. Your free testosterone will increase. Another thing that does that is myricetin or myricin. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's M-Y-R-I-C-E-T-I-N. That does that also. And then progesterone, which is a natural bioidentical hormone. And you can get that over the counter at a health food store. And what that does, that also just blocks the conversion of testosterone by competitive binding. There's another one that was sort of like an aromatase inhibitor. What aromatase is the enzyme that converts testosterone to estrogen. And there's drugs that stop that really well, but those are prescription. And like I said before, it's sort of a traffic jam where your testosterone is coming along and it's getting ready to get changed into estrogen, but it can't because the enzyme is being blocked. So the testosterone is backing up and it's increasing in level. But the natural product for that is called luteolin, and that's L-U-T-E-O-L-I-N. And that's a natural product that does that, not nearly as well as the prescription drugs, but it does it on a small amount.
Okay.
That's really about it. The thing that was popular, you know, 20 years ago was a yohimbine. That really doesn't do it. Trebialis or something like that. That can oftentimes have an opposite effect and actually lower your testosterone. So there's really nothing naturally that you can take, you know, as a pill or a supplement that will increase your testosterone. What we try and do is increase the things that take testosterone away or try and shift our balance towards a higher testosterone. But also, when we talk about a balance, it's a balance with estrogen. So there's a natural product that you can take that'll help your body metabolize estrogen. So if you're going to get rid of some of the excess estrogen, as a result, the balance of testosterone will increase. Does that make sense? It's like a scale. Yeah. You've got estrogen on one side, testosterone on the other. Your body wants that balance, but we're going to try and do all these little things to try and increase that ratio of testosterone. There's a product called DIM, D-I-M. And it's diindolemethane, which is a long word. It's just D-I-M. And it's a product that, it's a food supplement, but it's in cruciferous vegetables, like broccoli, cauliflower, things like that. What that does is it helps your body to metabolize the estrogen properly and get rid of it a little better, so it doesn't metabolize into a dangerous forms of estrogen. Another big thing is the DHEA, which is another supplement. That can help a little bit. It's not a miracle that a lot of people think it is. It does increase your testosterone a little bit if you need it. If you're low on DHEA and you supplement with it, it'll help. Guys would take 25 milligrams a day. Women would take 10 milligrams. And these other supplements, they're most likely found in a combination product somewhere at a health food store. But taking them individually is not going to work nearly as well as taking a combination of the three or four or five products that I talked about, because it's sort of a synergistic effect with these things. By taking them all together at one time, it's like a 1 + 1 = 3 type of a thing with these.
Okay. That makes sense. I'm familiar that some things work well together, and that's why they blend them together. They have a synergistic effect rather than just buying them all individually and just stacking them up and taking a whole bunch of them.
I'm not familiar with a product that contains all these. There may be something out there on the internet that I missed that, you know, is new or something, but these are the ones that I'm familiar with and I know do have an effect, albeit small. It's not a miracle. You know, you're not going to take them. And with any supplements, with any natural supplements, it really takes about a month to see or feel anything. And you really get the full effects after about 3 months with anything over the counter like that, that's not a prescription drug for the most part. There's some stuff like coffee, obviously, works right away. But other stuff like that, it just takes longer to work. Just by your question, I'm assuming that you're eating right and exercising. And that always helps with your testosterone because in our fat cells, that's where a large part of the testosterone is converted into estrogen. So if we have a lot of excess body fat on us, a lot of the testosterone is going into the body fat and being converted to estrogen. Well, if you have less body fat, there's less conversion. So keeping that excess body weight off of you is also going to help increase that balance towards testosterone. And exercising, weightlifting, weight resistance lifting, whatever you want to call it, is also good for increasing your testosterone. And, you know, I've been in the gym 25 years as well. The bodybuilders that I've talked with, the old timers in the gym, the gym rats, pretty much the general consensus is the best overall exercise for increasing testosterone is the 20 rep squat, which is getting under the bar, old school style in the squat rack, and squatting 20 times and taking a break and doing 5 or 6 sets of the 20 rep squat. You know, the general consensus is that's the greatest overall exercise for upping your growth hormone, upping your testosterone, and tilting that balance towards testosterone.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about supplementing with testosterone and what we can do as far as prescription drugs go, or did you want to stick strictly with the natural stuff?
I think at this juncture, I'm after more natural stuff.
Okay.
At the same time, I'm interested in education.
Okay. Well, we'll touch a little bit on it because that is really about it in a nutshell for natural testosterone therapy. There's really not much else I can go on and explain how everything works, but it's pretty boring and basic. They just bind to the enzymes that break down testosterone, thereby increasing testosterone. And it's simple. And each one has a small effect, but combined they have a greater effect. From what I've read, learned, and experienced in my whole life, your diet is probably 75% of the way you look, your exercise is probably 15% of the way you look, and your supplementation that you take is probably less than 10% of the way you look. But everybody wants to take a pill to look better, and yet they're only concentrating on that small 10%. Like I said before, diet and exercise is really the two major things as far as your body composition and how you feel and how hard your muscles are and how flexible you are and whatnot. And traveling, that's probably pretty difficult.
It can be, yeah. You mentioned, too, on an email that a certain amount of protein per pound of lean muscle weight, was it? Or
yeah. Yeah, when the diet that I developed, which is the 5-1-1 diet, if you want to get kind of crazy and really get into it, like, because I'm a nerd and a numbers guy, I figured out in talking with, you know, bodybuilders, because I'm into the hormones, and whether you want to believe it or not, you know, when you look at a professional athlete, They're doing everything they can to tilt the winning percentage in their favor. And when I say everything they can, you know, the ones who get caught are the ones you hear about. The professional bodybuilders are loaded up on this stuff. So when I speak with these guys, what I've come to the conclusion is that when you check your body fat percentage, you get your lean body weight and the ideal amount of protein to take if you're weightlifting and training hard is 1.15 grams of protein per pound of lean body weight. So if you weigh 200 pounds and you have 25% body fat, you have 150 pounds of lean body weight. So you go 150 times 1.15, which is, 165 maybe, 170. And that's how much protein you eat during the day, broken up into three major meals and 2 or 3 snacks. You know, you're not going too high and you're keeping a consistent stream of protein flowing through your system. So when your muscles do need something to grow, it's there. And a lot of nutritionists and scientists and whatnot, they think that that's way too much and it's just a waste. Well, you know, they're not bodybuilders and they're not football players and they don't do this for a living. So I tend to believe and follow guys who do this for a living. It's like, you know, if I wanted to be a bowler, I would pay attention to the bowlers and what the bowlers are doing and not what the soccer players are telling me to do to be the best bowler, if that makes sense to you. If I want to gain muscle and be strong, I'm going to listen to people who have more muscle than I do and who are strong and do what they say, rather than a scientist in a laboratory in a white coat that says, you know, no, they don't know what they're talking about, as he, you know, goes through the drive-thru at McDonald's. That's his nutrition. So I tend to stick with guys who are doing it and believe what they say and follow what they do.
Yeah, that's logical.
Just real quick, we'll talk about the prescription drug part with the hormones. There's two prescription drugs that work really well for aromatase inhibitors. And aromatase is the enzyme that breaks testosterone down into estrogen. And it's Arimidex and Femara. Those are the two brand names. Both are pretty expensive. Arimidex is going to be generic soon, so the price will drop significantly 6 or 8 months after the generic becomes available. And like I was saying before, the cascade of your hormones, it all starts with cholesterol, believe it or not, which is another good topic to talk about. It all starts with cholesterol, cascades through a series of, you know, enzymes and products and everything, and you end up with testosterone. And from testosterone, your body makes the estrogen. Guys, we need estrogen. Women need estrogen. And women also need testosterone as well as we do. So if you can block that enzyme aromatase that changes testosterone to estrogen, your level of testosterone will go up. And the Arimidex, that's exactly what it does. And the Femara, that's exactly what it does. And Arimidex, probably the best dose is about 0.5 milligram or 1 milligram 3 times a week. And that's a prescription. And then the Femara, you take a 0.5 tablet every week or every other week. Femara is very powerful and very long-acting. And your testosterone level will go up, and I have personal experience to tell you that it does work very well. One simple 0.5 pill every other week. You know, a little personal information. Since I'm a pharmacist, I have access to all this stuff, and I like to try things out to make sure that they work. I see these guys who are taking it, so I said, well, I'm going to get 2 tablets here, cut them in half, and I'm going to take 0.5 tablet every other week for 2 months and see what it does. And I did, and I took a test, and my testosterone was right about 10 times normal, and my estrogen was perfectly normal, right down the middle. It's because your body wants that level of estrogen, and it's going to keep flowing testosterone that way until it can overcome the blockade to get that estrogen there. And as it does, like a traffic jam, testosterone's backing up and increasing. It did work, and it does work. There's actually another product that I didn't mention, a natural product called Crysin, C-H-R-Y-S-I-N, and that's also an aromatase inhibitor. But the problem is that was a big whoop-de-doo for a while until they found out that it doesn't really work. It doesn't work orally. It works in a cream if you rub it on your skin, which is really the best way to get hormones into your body. So the Crysin will work that way also, but it's got to be in a cream. Going back to hormones, they should not be taken orally, in other words, by mouth, in a pill. They've taken testosterone and they've taken estrogen. Well, not so much estrogen, but they've taken testosterone and they've tweaked it a bit in the lab so that it'll bypass the liver and get into your system. The problem is natural hormones are not in our stomach. Our testosterone, estrogens, and progesterone are not in our stomach. So there's no reason to take it orally. When you take it orally, it goes into your stomach and the liver tears it up. It eliminates virtually 100% of any oral natural bioidentical hormones that you take. I try and relay this to doctors, but they don't seem to understand that. So you can take it orally and your body will eliminate it. You can get an injectable pellet, which is a small, you know, a little bigger than a piece of rice, maybe pencil eraser size, little pellet that goes underneath the skin in your hip, and that releases the hormones over the course of 2 to 6 months, depending on the person. You can get some vaginal suppositories for estrogen and testosterone. But the real best way is the cream. And well, since we're doing testosterone, you would put a testosterone cream, and this is the natural bioidentical testosterone. It's the same chemical structure that's found in your body. So your body recognizes it as its own, as normal. It doesn't fight against it. Just rub the cream on your body, and it gets absorbed like any other hand cream or hand lotion would. Goes directly into your bloodstream, and it gets used. And over the course of a week or two, you build yourself up to a level where you're comfortable, and then you stay there. But that's going the prescription route and doing the doctor route. And with testosterone, there's also the injections. There's the most popular one is the testosterone cypionate, and that's an injection that you do once a week or once every 2 weeks. The little injuries that you were mentioning, when you mentioned it, the first thing that came into my mind was growth hormone. Unfortunately, growth hormone is now pretty regulated and pretty strict. They won't even allow us to import the chemicals to make growth hormone in the lab. As a compounding pharmacist, I used to make it. It used to be dirt cheap. It's an excellent, wonderful hormone until it's abused. Right. And then you get in trouble. When you go outside the range of normal, bad things start to happen to you. You can hit a lot of home runs, but then the teenagers get on it and they get screwed up. So it's very expensive now. It's not difficult to get. It's just expensive. It makes everything younger, for lack of a better term. As we get old, growth hormone goes down. It's sort of the master hormone of our body that keeps us young. It's an injection. You can't take a pill. Makes you feel younger, more flexible. Your skin holds more water, less wrinkles. Just everything is better when the growth hormone is back to the level of a 20-something. You don't get gigantism. You don't grow. You don't get bigger because you're keeping a level in the normal range. And there's nothing that significantly increases that you can take naturally. There's some amino acids that you can take, some combinations, but it's really a drop in the bucket as far as what you can do with the growth hormone. The best way to increase your growth hormone is, like I said before, with the testosterone. You know, diet and exercise is really the best way to do it for the growth hormone. There is one product that we use, and it's prescription, and it's called Sermorelin, Sermorelin. And what that does, it's growth hormone releasing hormone. So that tells your body to release growth hormone. It's not growth hormone. You cannot overdose on it because your body is not going to give you more than you need. But it's telling your body to release all it can. If for some reason your body's deficient in pumping out growth hormone, you take this. It's a subcutaneous injection that you do at bedtime every night. And it's just telling your body to release as much growth hormone as it can. But your body has checks and balances and negative feedback loop systems. Your body's not going to secrete more growth hormone than you can handle and cause an overdosing effect in growth hormone and give you side effects. It won't do it. Your body won't do that. The old standby 10 years ago, glucosamine chondroitin, some people say it worked, some people say it didn't. Now they say that the chondroitin is too big to be absorbed in the stomach. Who knows? I tried it for a while. I never really got any benefit from it personally. Other guys have tried it and liked it. It says it helps their joints feel better. That's fine. Since I'm a pharmacist, I'm a Motrin guy and a Aleve guy. After a particularly strenuous workout, the next morning you're sore. I take an Aleve. It's not something that I take every day, but if I do a different exercise and I woke up just sort of stiff and I'm getting worse and worse as the day goes on, Aleve is my drug of choice for that, as far as stiffness. And I can understand the small aches and pains all over the body. I did a lot of martial arts, a lot of jiu-jitsu, which is a lot of what you see in the mixed martial arts now, in my 20s, and just getting picked up and slammed on my back over and over and over the course of time, plus lifting heavy weights. You don't think that you're going to be staring at 40 when you're 22, 23 years old, and realize that every time you land on the mat in 20 years, you're going to feel it again, but you do. You don't think about that 20 years ago. Right. So all those little stress on my body is catching up with me also, so I can understand. As far as me training, I just try and train around all those little injuries working, yeah. You know, in the gym and stuff.
Yeah, generally what I'm doing, try and, you know, just get some stretching. Sometimes it'll be Advil before the workout, but not, I don't want to do it every day. And then just, you know, trying to ease into it and get the endorphins flowing and let the body warm up. It takes a little longer now. And
the testosterone does help that aspect of it if you get the testosterone back up into the normal range. To be sure, what you could do, you could take a saliva test to test your testosterone level, either $30 or less than $30 to do it. And that would, you know, just let you know where you're at, either, you know, right down the middle in the normal range or on the low end of normal or who knows, sort of as a peace of mind to see where. Or if you take it and you have, you know, no testosterone whatsoever, the natural products aren't going to do anything. You know, you can only do so much with natural stuff before you get into drugs. But if you're feeling like this and you're sort of in the middle or maybe a little bit lower than in the middle inside the normal range, taking these natural products, the stinging nettle and the beta-sitosterol, it could just give you just enough bump up to put you back over the edge to feel normal again and feel 10 years younger when you're in the gym and when you wake up. You know, because your body, like I said, you've got checks and balances, so your body's going to fight back. It doesn't want to be that young. It likes to be in the 30 to 35-year-old range as far as your hormones go. And by taking natural products, your body will not revert back to that young. It won't go back to your early 20s. You know, it won't give you more than you need type of a thing, like with the Sermorelin. So you really can't hurt yourself by taking the natural products. It won't be a big jump in testosterone. Probably won't take it, and then a week later feel like Superman and all your lifts go up in the gym and you're suddenly running a minute faster in the mile. It doesn't happen. It'll happen very gradually, but it could just be enough to get you over the edge to feel good again and feel younger again.
Right. Now, and I'll add something to this, because on the I want to ask you really two things. The first is sources of high concentration of lean protein, and then two is I've just come off of a 5-week vacation, a holiday on the East Coast, eating comfort food. So right now I've rounded the new year. Part of my call with you is to take your advice and grab a hold of it. And I generally eat clean throughout the year. I want a little kickstart right now over the next, 30, 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
Any recommendations along those? And then would that lead me more towards something higher dose, such as a prescription? You know, what thoughts do you have on that?
A jump start as far as your diet goes?
Yeah, diet and supplementation, yeah.
Okay. From people that I've worked with, I find that if you jump both feet into the deep end of a diet pool, you'll fail in about a week. People buy these diet books or jump on Atkins or do a no carb, well, it is Atkins, or do some crazy diet, the all cabbage soup diet or something like that, and they'll go for up to a week before they say, screw this, this sucks. But if you slowly make a change, you're more apt to stick with it. In other words, I tell people, start first with breakfast. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. For some reason, I always start people on a Monday. Concentrate on having a good breakfast. I like eggs. I think eggs and egg whites are excellent sources of protein. I used to eat whole eggs with the yolk in the morning and enjoyed it and didn't worry about the fat content. And then the more bodybuilders that I spoke with, they're going more towards just eating the egg whites. So that's sort of what I've been leaning towards lately. I think there's a lot of good substances in the yolk, but there's also fat. And I think the fat in the yolk is good fat. I'd say maybe for every 3 eggs, have 1 yolk. So 2 egg whites and 1 whole egg, maybe. But egg whites are excellent. And I just throw a little butter in a pan. The only fats that I think are good are butter, olive oil, and coconut oil. Thing is, you can't really cook with olive oil. And coconut oil is real expensive, so I just tend to go with butter.
So if you just concentrate on having a good breakfast for 3, 4, 5 days, just to get that routine down, then add a good lunch for 3, 4, 5 days. So you're having a good breakfast and a good lunch for a few days, so you get that routine down, then add a good dinner after 4 or 5 days. So you slowly and gradually ease into this diet, so it's not a big giant lifestyle change that you're going to go through, because then you'll fail. It's very difficult to suddenly switch from eating poorly to eating healthy. Talking about the different foods,
lean sources of protein, what I eat, well, like I said, egg whites, chicken breast, and I get my chicken breast from Costco, frozen chicken breast, fish, and red meat. And the red meat that I guess grew up on, what I've always ate, is shoulder steak. Relatively inexpensive, fairly lean, and that's just the one that I like, because for 20 years that's the cut of meat that I ate, because when I was training 20 years ago to get big, that was the cut of meat that the bodybuilders ate and told me to eat, and that's what I did. So, but you can tell which cut of meat is leaner by the price. The cheaper the cut of steak, the less fat it's going to have in it. So that's one way to tell. And then it's chicken, fish, can of tuna every now and then. Turkey breast is fine, and that's it. It's meat is what you're looking for protein. And if you want to go crazy, and figure out how much to eat, you can get your body fat, you get a body fat analyzer and figure that out mathematically, or pretty much look at the palm of your hand. And that's the portion size for lean meat. And the palm, not your fingers and not your thumb, just that palm.
Okay.
Some people will say a deck of cards, but everybody's palm is basically the size of meat that you want to eat. And if you have that size over the course of, 3 meals, and then half that size again over the course of 2 or 3 snacks, it'll all wash out in the end and work out for you. Eating clean, just vegetables and, one piece of fruit a day at the most. Fruit is good for you, got a lot of vitamins in it, but it's full of sugar. And that sugar spikes your insulin, and insulin is what drives your fat into your cells to be stored. That's the main theory behind the Atkins diet. Your insulin stays low because you're not eating carbs. If there's no insulin, your body cannot store fat. So you keep your insulin low, your body can't store fat. It can't do it. And that's how the Atkins, you know, works. When you eat sugar and you eat simple carbs, cookies, candy, and stuff like that, spikes your insulin. That insulin is just going to drive the free fatty acids in your blood into your body and store them as fat for later use. So we want to keep your insulin consistently low is what we're looking to do. And you can do that with eating vegetables, eating protein with every meal that slows your digestion, and then complex carbs. The complex carbs that I eat are only brown rice, sweet potatoes, and oatmeal. That's really about it. I like sweet potatoes, and I'll eat those. And then another excellent source of protein is whey protein, the W-H-E-Y, the whey protein. I get that from EAS is the company, and they sell these big bags at Costco of it. So I think I've got one bag at the pharmacy. I think I've got two or three bags here at the house that I just grab the closest one because they're all open. You know, two scoops of that and a little shaker with some milk or some water will get you your protein. And it's very digestible, bioavailable. It's a good source of protein as well. Let me mention this. I think you should stay away from soy products. I don't know if you do that or not, but the fake protein stuff, the soy or tofu, it's very estrogen-like. It's a phytoestrogen. Well, when you eat that, you're going to increase your estrogen level. The balance of your estrogen is going to go up. The Asians do it, and they're fine because they've been doing that for generations. They have the enzymes that can handle it and break it down, and their bodies are used to that. Whereas us Americans, when we do that, our bodies aren't used to that. We don't have generation upon generation that have done that and have built up sort of a tolerance to soy like the Asians do, the Japanese. So our bodies can't handle it. A lot of soy are going to increase your estrogen and tilt that balance towards estrogen, which is what we do not want.
That's valuable stuff. Having worked in the health club industry, having, you know, there was a point in my life where we were lifting heavy and, you know, we were doing some cycles that some young men do to get big and strong.
Gotcha.
You know, and so I'm not against, you know, prescription health, and I'm also not against subcutaneous injections of whatever makes sense to do. And so that's part of what I'm asking you is kickstarts in that direction, or would you say, you know, because you're not on anything right now, maybe just try natural and then go from there.
So are you still consistently training now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
don't see a problem with going the pharmaceutical route. If you personally, and I don't know if you did or not, but a lot of guys did in their 20s when we were indestructible. They took a lot of cycles, like you said, stayed on them for a long period of time and didn't give their body time to readjust back. So what happens, like anything else, if you're giving your body outside testosterone so that it doesn't have to make testosterone on its own, it's going to atrophy and it's going to shrink. It's like if you break your arm and you're in a cast for 6 weeks, when the cast comes off, your arm that's broken is going to be smaller than the arm that wasn't broken. It wasn't used, it's going to atrophy. So it's the use it or lose it. So if you're in guys, it's the testicles. If our testicles are not producing testosterone for years upon years upon years because our body was getting it from an outside source, they're going to atrophy. They're going to shrink up, and eventually, and there's no set time period of this, eventually they're just going to stop working because they haven't had to work for so long.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to, you know, some bodybuilders and some sports guys. I shouldn't say some sports guys, a lot of sports guys who are now feeling those effects, who are now retired and they're 10 years out, and they realize, wow, my body doesn't produce testosterone. That's because during their career, their body didn't have to, so it atrophied.
Sure.
So if that was the case with anyone in their late 30s and 40s, when they were in their 20s, if we did a lot of testosterone, our body just might not be producing it at all.
Right.
But I think you would definitely feel that. There would be a definite problem in your life if you had very little or no testosterone at all. So I don't think that's the case, especially if you have the energy to go to the gym and work out.
And we, you know, I watched this, and going back to that time frame, I studied, I thought about it, I deliberately studied physiology, I was reading and thinking about it, and the times that I had done it, it was 12-week cycle, going up gradually, coming down gradually, and getting off for a time frame. And I could see some other guys that would just stay on it for a year. I had one friend that was on it those things. I'm just like, I'd like to get an edge. You
know? Yeah. No, that's true. And like I was saying before, the natural products will bump it up a little bit. They're not miracles. If you really want to get, you know, heavy into it, it's really the prescription route that you've got to go, and you've got to find a doctor who is into this and who knows what to do and how to do it. And it's really wonderful. I mean, you'll find if you get testosterone supplementation, you'll have a significant increase in your general well-being and your overall quality of life. It's really a significant difference when your levels come back to normal. You don't realize how much of your edge you have lost because it has gone down so gradually, and it's called andropause for men. Now, women, you know, they go through menopause, and they lose a lot of their hormones pretty quickly over the course of a couple years, so they feel it. You know, they complain about the hot flashes, whereas us, you know, we start at 30 to 35, and we gradually lose, you know, 1 or 2% a year until we pretty much don't have any. By the time we're 55, most guys have more estrogen than a 55-year-old woman. So a couple who's married, 55 years old, the man is going to have more estrogen than the woman on average. It's just because we shift towards estrogen, and the women, they don't. So it's a part of getting older, and the natural substances work to a small degree. If you really want to get that edge and jumpstart, it's going the prescription route with an experienced physician or doctor who can do that. And being a traveler, that would be difficult to get. Let me explain my issue with cholesterol lowering. The whole sex hormone thing, testosterone, your estrogens, and your progesterone, it all starts with cholesterol. That's the base molecule for all these hormones. That's where it comes from. So the thing now is everybody's got to lower their cholesterol with all these statin drugs, Lipitor, and all this stuff that you see on TV. Everybody's got to get their cholesterol lowered. Well, our body needs cholesterol. That's the spackle that your body uses when you get an injury. There's injuries going on in our body all the time in our blood vessels because they're expanding and contracting with the force of the blood flow, and they get tiny tears in them, tiny tears, tiny rips, little holes, and it's cholesterol that patches those up. Well, if your cholesterol gets too high, it's going to patch up that hole, and then it's sticky. So as more cholesterol comes along, it's going to stick to that patch because it's sticky, and then more cholesterol is going to come along, it's going to stick to the cholesterol that's stuck, and then so on and so on till you get a blockage. So they just keep saying, lower your cholesterol. Well, when you lower your cholesterol, you're stopping that whole cascade of your sex hormones, and your body is going to preferentially use the cholesterol for repair before it uses it to make hormones. Because if it doesn't repair itself, you're going to die. So it's going to take the cholesterol, the little bit that you have, because you've lowered it so low, taking Lipitor, and use it to repair itself with, and you have nothing to make your sex hormones with. So now everybody's hormones are going down even further, along with all the other stuff. That's just my own rant on that.
Got it.
At 45, everything's going to slow down. Unless you get some testosterone supplementation and jump back up to the higher end of normal, natural products may just put you over the edge to feel good again. They're not miracles, like I said. The diet and exercise are going to help with the testosterone level.
That's really, you know, that's pretty good. The other part for me is beginning to be, I'm noticing some new developments in the actual exercises people are doing, combining exercises, you know, just doing different movements than the old style, you know, basic movements that we were doing. 20, 25 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Curious if you have any information about, you know, that, plyometrics or anything.
Yep. My personal feeling in all these new innovations in exercise is it's marketing. I still, on a regular basis, watch the old Pumping Iron movie, and I see the guys, and they're pretty big, and they're lifting free weights, and they're using chains and old school stuff. And I think if these guys can get that big doing that, so can I. You're not going to be able to rock your way to rock hard abs, you know, in an ab rocker. And then you've got all these different, you know, the P90X thing is big. And I did that for about 2 weeks and with my wife. And I said, honey, I hate this. I can't stand this. I need my weights. If you're happy doing, you know, crazy exercises and everything, that's fine. I remember when I was training hard and getting big, me and my training partner at the time, Heath, we would purposely make up crazy exercises to see how many guys would be doing it next week. And and now if you can come up with a contraption and market it well, you know, you can sell it on an infomercial as the latest, greatest thing. So I think that's what a lot of these are. You need heavy compound movements to get strong, get your connective tissue strong. Heavy compound movements are exercises that involve more than one muscle group, like squat, bench press, pull up, overhead press, things like that. These involve your whole body, your core, like they say. When you get into these isolated exercises, you're not encompassing your whole body. You know, if you're doing a concentration curl, that's all your body's working is just the bicep. So yeah, the bicep is going to get strong, but to get your whole body strong and get a good solid foundation, it's those heavy compound movements. So everybody's got fat around the midsection, and ladies got the big butts and the big thighs. So that's what these contraptions are focusing on. And I think you know, Wayne, that you cannot spot reduce. In other words, if I've got fat around my stomach, it doesn't matter how many sit-ups I do, the fat around my stomach is not going to go away faster by doing sit-ups. Or if a lady does butt exercises, the fat on her butt is not going to go away faster doing that than any other exercise.
Right.
You can't spot reduce. You can't take the fat off of one area preferentially by exercise. You can do it by liposuction and surgery, but the fat's going to come off where it wants to come off, and it's based on genetics.
Yeah, I think the point I read about that is that it'll come off last where it goes on first.
That's typically it. Us guys gain it in the stomach. So when we start to lose weight, the stomach is going to be the last thing to come off. Women gain it in their butts and in their thighs. So as they lose weight, that's the last place it's going to come off. It's just frustrating, but that's the way it is.
Well, that's good stuff. I sure appreciate it, Wes.
I wish I had some great inside information for you to help you out, but there just isn't any. The same thing with the bodybuilder guys that I talk to. You know, they're like, yeah, man, I'll tell you everything I know. I talk to them, and they're not telling me anything that I don't already know. I'm like, man, yeah. I was really hoping for some great diet secrets and how you guys do it. And then, no, it's chicken and broccoli. What do you guys have for breakfast? Egg whites and oatmeal. Okay, what do you eat? About 3 hours later, I have some chicken and some broccoli. All right, cool. What's next? All right, about 3 hours after that, I have some chicken and broccoli. All right, what's next? Chicken and broccoli. What's next? Chicken and broccoli. And then I have a protein shake. I'm like, all right, what else? That's it. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Tell me something. That's it. That's all, you know? Chicken, broccoli, egg whites, oatmeal, sweet potato. I'm like, man. So, and then, you know, and of course they're on, you know, they're taking all the injections and stuff. And now with the internet, they're importing a lot of stuff from other countries. Who knows if it's real or not, or where it's coming from. And they're going to be in for a shocker when they get older and realize that they're not indestructible. But I guess the money calls, and that's what you got to do to compete at that level. Same with the football players.
Yeah.
We saw what happened with baseball with Bonds and McGuire, is that, you know, if it's not illegal, they're going to go all out and do it with performance enhancing drugs. They don't make you hit the baseball any better, but they make you hit it harder and farther, and you can recover much better the next day to do it again. You know, and I deal with some former Major League Baseball players who played in the 80s, and they said the difference between, you know, making $10 million a year and making the bare minimum is, you know, one little hit a week or one more strikeout a week. If you're a pitcher, it's nothing. It's such a fine line. So anything that can give these guys an edge, they're going to do.
Right.
And so what if you get caught? You made $10 million. You don't ever have to work again.
Yeah. Right.
That's my spiel.
I appreciate the effort, right. And I'll watch for you on Facebook.
All right. Well, thank you, Wayne. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
That's the end of this coaching call with Wayne. I hope you can use some of the things we discussed here to help you in your health goals. If you have any questions, please email me at askwest@medicinecoach.com or call me and leave a question at 870-ASK-WEST. That's 870-ASK-WEST or 870-275-9378. That's 870-275-9378. I want a new drug.